Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is April, and I am our kids team coordinator here at Wellspring Church. And I do not get the opportunity to be in here very often. So while I'm up here, I just have to take a second and give a big, huge thank you to our kids team volunteers. I do not get to do this enough. They are so special. And I tell them all the time that they are rock stars. They choose to be here every week on their own time, giving up 1 hour of their weekend to hang out with your kids. And so I want you to do something for me today. When you go pick up your kids today, would you just appreciate our volunteers? Would you just tell them how awesome they are and how special and loved that they are? Because of them, you get to be in here for 1 hour, kid-free, relaxing and worshiping and fueling yourself for the rest of the week because of what they're doing. So, and not only that, but they're making sure that your kids are having a blast. I've been sitting backstage and all I hear is screaming and laughing. They are having so much fun back there. So just appreciate them for me today. All right, if you were not here last week, I want to catch you up on what's going on. We just started a brand new series last week called Inside Out. Pastor Trey kicked off this series. And it's all about making changes in our life that will last, lasting change. At the start of the new year, a lot of us have set goals for ourselves that we want to achieve this year, or we've made New Year's resolutions and things that we want to improve, areas of our life that we want to make better this year. But if you are like me, or most of the population probably, you're not very good at keeping those changes going throughout the year. We get to a certain place and all of a sudden we just kind of hit a wall and we experience some resistance and we feel like giving up. And so last week, Pastor Trey explained to us that the reason why we experience that is because we are broken people. We're broken because of sin in our life. We are broken, but God sent his only son, Jesus, to fix our brokenness. And it is through a relationship with him that we can begin to experience lasting change. There's a verse from John chapter 15 where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that is why when we are trying to make changes in our lives, we experience that resistance. Because if we're not connected to the vine on a regular basis, if we're not tapping into him as our source, we can't do anything on our own for very long. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to change an area of your life and felt like there was just this bully staring down at you and telling you that you couldn't do it, or a voice in your ear that says, "You will never change. You're never going to do it. You're not good enough." The title of this series, Inside Out, when I heard that this was going to be the title of our series this month, I immediately thought of a time in my life when I had experienced a bully staring down at me and telling me that I wasn't enough. And there's a lesson that my dad taught me that I want to pass on to you today. I've always been a very small person. I'm kind of a petite person. I mean, the stage just sort of swallows me up. I'm not the big Pastor Trey tall. But so when I was a kid in school, I was always the shortest one in my class. And if you're a short person in the room, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say that on class picture day, y'all know where I'm going with this? I was always the first one in line that would hold that little sign with the teacher's name on it. There was never a contest to see who it was going to be. It was just immediately, "April, you're the first one to line up. Come on." Because I was always the smallest one. And so when I was in first grade, there was this kid named Ben. And Ben was a bully. Ben wasn't just bigger than me. Ben was bigger than everybody in first grade. But for whatever reason, Ben decided that he needed to remind me every day of how small I was. And so Ben would come to me and he would say, "Hey, shorty, why are you so short?" Only he didn't really call me shorty. He used another derogatory term that I can't say in 2017. So he would say, "Hey, shorty, why are you so short? You're so small. I don't really think you're 6 years old. Are you sure you're six? Are you really supposed to be in the first grade?" Every day. And his favorite place to make fun of me and to taunt me was at the water fountain. Now, I don't know why. Maybe it was because we had just come inside from recess and everybody was all sweaty and we were lining up and we were maybe further away from the teacher. But Ben would just push and shove his way to wherever I was in the line and get behind me all sweaty. Ben just sweat more than everybody else. And he would just shove his way up behind me and say, "Hey, shorty, did you grow enough to reach the water fountain yet? You need a step stool just to reach the water fountain, ha, ha, ha." And so every day he would do this to me, and I would go home and I would tell my parents about Ben the bully and how he was hurting my feelings and how I felt so bad about myself and why wasn't I ever going to get any bigger. And so at first my parents just kind of brushed it off. "Well, Ben just thinks you're cute. That's why he's picking on you." But finally, it started to affect my school experience, and it was just crushing my confidence in the first grade. And so finally, my dad sat me down one day, and he said, "April, do not let what Ben says about you affect how you see yourself. You are little on the outside, but you are big on the inside." So I thought about it, and I mulled it over, and I went to school the next day. And when Ben found me in line for the water fountain, he bumped and shoved his way up behind me like he always did. "Hey, shorty, can you reach the water fountain today? You need your step stool?" I just turned around and I looked at Ben, and I put my hands on my hips, and I said, "I may be little on the outside, but I'm big on the inside." And Ben didn't really know what to say, but as you could imagine, he wasn't the brightest bulb in the box. So I don't truthfully remember much about what happened after that. I know that I started to gain a little bit of confidence, and I don't think that Ben bothered me quite as much after that. But as I got older and I started to experience things where I felt like I wasn't enough, that I wasn't big enough, or when things seemed too hard, I would think back to what my dad taught me. "You may be little on the outside, but you're big on the inside." And I began to understand the truth of this verse, that apart from God, I can't do anything on my own. And that I didn't have to let what was happening on the outside affect how I reacted on the inside. So what I want you to know today is if you are facing changes in your life and you've hit that wall of resistance, or you hear that bully in your ear telling you you're never going to change, you're never going to be able to do it, I want you to know there's some truth to that. That you are little and weak on the outside. On your own, you are small and not enough. But God's power in you is greater. God's power in you is greater. If you are a Christ follower here today, are you aware of the power that you carry around with you every day? For those of us who've put our faith in Christ, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead belongs to us, but we don't live that way most of the time. We instead listen to the bully who says that we're not enough, that we're not good enough. And because we live in this microwave society, as my friend Brooke calls it, we expect immediate results. And when we don't see the results that we're wanting, we develop this I can't mentality, and we start to doubt. We start to doubt what we can do. And so we have a confidence complex. Do you know what the confidence complex is? The confidence complex is when you are blind to God's ability to do big things in your life and through your life. The confidence complex is when you mope around feeling like you can't do things and that you're not enough, and that you're never going to change. The confidence complex is when you look at what God is doing in other people's lives and how they're getting results and you're not, and you start to feel like you're somehow less deserving that maybe you're just not good enough to change. The confidence complex is when you look at what other people can do and the strengths that they have, and all you can see is what you don't have. And all you can see is your own weaknesses. That's the confidence complex. Maybe you have a confidence complex. But the good news is you can overcome your confidence complex. When you choose to stop seeking self-confidence, when you surrender to the idea of self-confidence and you choose to have confidence in God's competence, in God's competence to change you, have confidence in God's competence. See, we want to be self-confident. We want to be so self-confident. I got this. I can do this. Let's do it. And then when we do that, we tend to become self-absorbed. And that leads us to neglect the competency of the God that we serve. Because we start thinking that we can do it on our own, and then we forget to tap in to his resources when we start to hit that wall of resistance, when the enemy starts talking. If you want to overcome your confidence complex, you need to have confidence in God's competence. I want to introduce you to Gideon. Before we go any further and I give away my whole message, I want to introduce you to Gideon because Gideon is a guy from the Old Testament who also had a confidence complex. And I think the story of Gideon can help us learn how we can put our confidence in God's competence. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Judges 6 in the Old Testament. And I want to set the story up for you a little bit because you need to understand where Gideon is coming from. So at the time, the Israelites were under the oppression. They were being oppressed by a mean group of people called the Midianites. Now, the Midianites had moved into the land surrounding the Jordan River where the Israelites were living, and they were stealing the crops, the livestock and the cattle, and they were destroying the crops of the Israelites, and they were invading their homes. And so the Israelites were outnumbered, and they were forced to retreat into hiding in the caves in the mountains. They literally just ran for the hills. And so the Lord finds Gideon, who's just a regular guy, the Lord finds Gideon hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, and he's hiding so that he can't be seen by the Midianites. And he says this, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord has brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and has handed us over to the Midianites." I want to point out to you here that the Lord calls Gideon a mighty hero. Mighty hero. Talk about powerful words. Gideon hasn't even done anything yet, and already God has declared him a mighty hero. Now, considering the circumstances that Gideon found himself in that day, I don't think he felt like a mighty hero. In fact, he's telling God that he feels abandoned, that he feels like a victim. But yet God is saying, "You're a mighty hero." Gideon's people are in hiding, they're starving, and they're under oppression, and God says, "You're a mighty hero." Now, maybe you can relate to Gideon. Back in September, maybe, Pastor Trey taught a series called Sticks and Stones. And in Sticks and Stones, he taught us about the power of our words and how our words carry weight and that we have the ability to build up or tear down. And I know that some of you have been on the receiving end of some very hurtful words. Words that maybe started with, "You never," "You always," "You're such a," "You will never be," dot, dot, dot. Words that cut so deep and scarred you. And it is no wonder you have a confidence complex. But you have a choice to make. You can choose to believe what others have said about you, or you can choose to believe what God says about you. If you want to have confidence in God's competence, you need to choose to believe what God says about you. You can let others' words hold you back and keep you down, or you can choose to believe what God says about you and let His words push you forward. You're a mighty hero. Maybe you're like Gideon and you don't feel like a mighty hero today, but that's who God says you are. And you need to wake up every day and claim that truth for yourself. You need to wake up and say, I'm a mighty hero. I don't feel like it today, but I'm choosing to believe what God says about me. I'm a mighty hero of faith, and God says that's who I am. Claim that truth for yourself and choose to walk in that truth. If you want to have confidence in God's competence, if you're going to overcome the confidence complex that's plaguing you, you've got to believe what God says about you. Let's go back to our scripture. So Gideon is telling God that he feels like a victim, and he's saying, God, you've abandoned us. And God says, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. Gideon was immediately focused on his weaknesses. Here's God declaring him a mighty hero and giving him a big job to do, and all he can think about is his weaknesses. And he says, how can I save Israel? In other words, I think you must have the wrong guy. My tribe is the smallest and the weakest. I'm a nobody. How do you expect me to do anything? See, Gideon was so focused on how things were going to change that he forgot who had the power to change them. Maybe you're like Gideon. Maybe you're so wrapped up in how your circumstances are ever going to change or how you're ever going to get better that you've forgotten who has the power to change you. If you're going to have confidence in God's competence, you've got to accept that the who is more important than the how. The who is more important than how. God never told Gideon he was going to rescue Israel on his own. He never expected him to do it on his own. God said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon said, how can I save Israel? And God said, I will. We say, how? I can't do that. And God says, I will. He doesn't even say, I can be with you. He says, I will be with you. Because there is a difference between what God can do and what he will do, what he's willing to do. But here he says to Gideon, I will be with you. In other words, Gideon, you don't have to worry about the how right now. Just focus on who. And to be clear, I am the who, and I will help you. If you want to overcome your confidence complex, you've got to accept that the who is more important than how. We don't like not knowing the how of things, do we? We like to know how things work and how it's all going to end up. We want to know how we're going to get from point A to point B. We're like a bunch of three-year-olds. I've worked with a lot of three-year-olds. I've spent a lot of time with three-year-olds in the last 15 years plus. And it's around the age of 3 and 4 that kids start wanting to know how everything works. And they start asking questions like, how did God make me? How does a caterpillar turn into a butterfly? They want to know things like, how does Santa get down the chimney? Things that are hard to answer. I had a kid ask me one time how water comes out of the faucet. And I said, well, there's a pipe inside, and the water just comes out of the pipe. Well, how does water get in the pipe? I'm thinking, I'm not a plumber. I don't know. I teach preschool. I'm thinking to myself, I could probably Google it and figure it out, but right now you're just smearing blue paint everywhere. So I said to him, let's not worry about how it works right now. For now, let's just get your hands clean. Let's just turn on the faucet and start washing your hands, and we'll figure out how it all works later. I think that's how it is with God. We want to know how it's all going to work. But he doesn't give us all the details up front. And even if he did, we wouldn't understand it. So he just says, right now, I just need you to trust me, and we'll worry about how as we go along. When you are wondering how it's all going to work, when you're wondering, how am I going to survive this loss? How am I going to get over my addiction? How am I ever going to conquer my anxiety? How am I ever going to forgive? How can I move on from my past and stop feeling so depressed? When you're wondering at how am I ever going to change? Take a step back. Don't get so caught up in the inner workings of how that you forget about who has the power to change it. If you want to overcome your confidence complex, you've got to remember and accept that the who is more important than how. Check your source of confidence and who you're trusting. I have a sister who is a couple of years older than I am, and she is one of my heroes. She has walked through some of life's most difficult circumstances in recent years. She had a very difficult marriage that ended in divorce. And then when her son was just 5 years old, her worst nightmare came true. Because a very close family member of ours was accused of doing something to him. And there was no truth to it. And she wasn't accused of doing anything wrong, but he was immediately taken away from her. In a moment, she lost custody of her child. And so for the next 2 years, she fought to regain even partial custody of him. And there were times when she was only permitted to visit with him under supervised care for a couple of hours a week, and she wasn't able to talk to him about what was going on or explain anything to him. 5 years old. And through that process, none of us could see how it was ever going to get better. It seemed hopeless. And even though we were praying for her and for that situation to get better, we couldn't see how it ever would. But then finally, 1 year ago, last Christmas, she was finally rewarded primary custody of her son again. It was a miracle, a miracle. The reason that I'm telling you that story is because through that, I saw her change from the inside out. She's always been a very controlling person and bossy. The big sister is always bossy, right? She sees the world in black and white. There's no gray. And she's a get it done type of person. For her to be at the mercy of other people's decisions went against every fiber of her being. But yet, through that whole 2 years, I saw her soften, and she became more sympathetic and understanding and patient, and she developed a great sense of humor that she never had before. And so one day, I told her how I thought she'd changed so much, and I asked her how she did it. And she said, I woke up every day, and I believed that God is who he says he is. And that his plan for me and for my child is good. And she said the most difficult days were when she prayed and prayed but didn't see the results that she was expecting. And she said every time she started to doubt God's ability to move, to change things, she would lay it at his feet again and again and again. And the more times that she did that, the less days of doubt she experienced. See, she knew that the who was more important than the how. when you are facing difficult changes, when you meet that wall of resistance and you feel the bully in your ear telling you it's never going to get better, you're never going to change, you've got to make sure that your confidence is in God's competence and that the who that's in charge is more important than how the details are going to play out. When you do that, when you choose to put your confidence in God's competence, you will be able to stop defending your fear and start depending on your faith. Stop defending your fears and start depending on your faith. When you are so consumed and you're afraid of the unknown or the fear of failure, that's a cop-out. Your faith is your confidence. Our faith should be a no-brainer when we stop and consider what God has already done for us. If Gideon had paused for just a moment and thought about all the promises already made, all the battles already won for his people, he would have had more confidence in God's competence to carry him through it. Do you ever stop and think about God's resume and what he's already done in your life? The promises already made, the provisions already made, how he's already come through for you, whether in big ways or in small ways? When you do that, you'll be able to stop defending your fears and start depending on your faith, because your faith is your confidence. Your faith is your confidence. Maybe you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, that's all fine and good, April, but I can't think of anything God has done for me. I'm going to give you one to get you started. God sent his only son, Jesus, to rescue you from death. Jesus died on the cross and conquered death 3 days later just so that he could be with you. He's already been the who and the how that paved the way to your freedom. And if you have the faith to believe that, then why don't you have the faith to believe that he can be the who and how in every situation that you find yourself in? God is fully competent to be your helper. Look at this verse with me. Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear." The Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. Stop defending your fears and start depending on your faith. Have confidence in God's competence to be your helper. Check your source of confidence. I don't have time to go through the whole story of Gideon with you today, but I want to tell you how it wraps up, because Gideon did put his confidence in God. Gideon chose to trust God and step out in faith. And in fact, he recruited an army of about 30,000 men. Sounds like a lot, but compared to the Midianites, it was small potatoes. So he got ready to go into battle, and God said, "Gideon, I want you to send home all but 300 of those men." 300. He went from 30,000 to 300. He was already feeling weak, remember? And he got an army of 30,000 men, and then God said, "No, you can only take 300. It's roughly the people in this room. It's nothing. But God wanted to make sure that Gideon and the Israelites knew who was fully competent that day. He knew if they went into battle with 30,000 men, they were going to be taking the credit for the win. And he wanted to make sure there was one person that got the credit, and it was going to be him. When we put our confidence in God's competence, it allows him to prove who he is and how able he is. If Gideon hadn't stepped out in faith that day and chosen to have confidence in God, the Israelites would have been stuck hiding and scared and starving. You never know how putting your confidence in God will change someone else's life. By Gideon stepping out and leading the way in confidence, the Israelites were able to follow, and God changed their life. At Wellspring, we encourage people to share their story. We want you to share your story. Maybe by putting your faith in God, maybe by putting your confidence in God's competence, it would give someone else the courage that they need to come out of hiding and to believe what God says about them. Maybe by putting your confidence in God, it would help someone else be able to do the same and to experience confidence in God and to experience who He is and how able He is in their life too. You are a mighty hero of faith. That's who you are. And God can use your story for His glory, as we say. When you choose to have confidence in God's competence, you can overcome your confidence complex. Next week, Pastor Trey is going to be back, and he's going to be talking to us and teaching us more about how we can take next steps to experience that change in our life, that lasting change. And there are practical steps of how. But first and foremost, you've got to make sure that your confidence is in the one who has the power to change you. So this week, when you start to experience that resistance, when you hear the enemy or the bully badgering you in your ear and telling you you're too small, you're too weak, I want you to remember that you are small and weak on your own, but God's power in you is greater. God's power in you is greater. Have confidence in God's competence to be your helper. And keep laying at His feet over and over and over again. And the more times you do that, the less times you'll have to. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much that you are fully competent and that we can trust you to be the who and how in every situation we find ourselves in. Throughout the course of change, God, we can lay it at your feet and know that you are fully competent and that our confidence in you can set us free from the fear of failure, from the fear of the unknown, because we can trust that we're walking in the grace of a God who loves us, who sent His only Son to rescue us. Help us to trust you and to put our confidence in you, God. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.